Let's look here in the Bible tonight. We're going to read a text in the book of Hebrews, and then we're going to go over to the book of Peter for just a few minutes. Hebrews, James, and then Peter. Hebrews chapter number 2 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 2. I believe it is. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 2. In verse number 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Boy, we're prone to let things slip, aren't we? Amen. The Bible said, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. I want to pick a little phrase out of this tonight. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I want to preach for just a little while tonight on this subject. What makes God's salvation so great? Now, you could approach that from a lot of different angles, but I'm going to approach it tonight using the word incorruptible. That's what makes it so great. Amen. The devil can't corrupt it. The flesh can't corrupt it. The world can't corrupt it. Amen. Death cannot corrupt it. The salvation of the Lord. The Bible said in the book of Jonah, salvation is of the Lord. Amen. A salvation is not something man can do for himself. It's not something one man can do for another man. It's something that the Lord must do for an individual. Let's pray and we'll get into the message. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight for the privilege to be here at Babel Way Baptist Church this evening. God, I thank you, Lord, for the sweet Holy Spirit. Lord, singing would just be singing without the Holy Spirit. Lord, preaching would just be preaching without the Holy Spirit. But Lord, when you anoint the singing, when you anoint the preaching of thy word, Lord, how it helps us tonight. God, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus, God, that you would help us tonight as we gather here around the word of God for just a few minutes. Encourage our hearts, strengthen us. May we bind together, Lord. And Lord, may we ever guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God, will give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, all of God's young and said, amen. You say, preacher, what makes salvation so great? What makes the salvation of God so wonderful and so great? And what makes it incorruptible? I believe that God gives to His children eternal life, and they shall never perish. I believe that. John chapter 10 teaches us that. If I didn't have another verse of Scripture to believe that God saved me eternally, that would be good enough for me to know that Jesus gave me eternal life, and that in order for me to ever perish, Jesus would have to be a liar. And Jesus is a lot of things to me, but He'll never be a liar. The Word of God said, He cannot lie. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. Let me give you number one tonight. My salvation is so great because it was purchased with incorruptible blood. In 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 18, the Bible said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that was manifest in these last times for you. I want you to know tonight that our relationship
with the Father was purchased with incorruptible blood. It was not purchased with the blood of bulls and the blood of goats, but thank God it was purchased with the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's cross. Some of the songwriters, once in a while, I'm not fussing, but they'll talk about the blood that was spilled. I personally don't like that. I tell you, to spill something, it's to do it by accident. But thank God He went to Calvary and He did it on purpose. He shed His blood for you and His blood for me. And I have eternal life tonight. I have a wonderful salvation. I have a great salvation because it was purchased with incorruptible blood this evening. Amen. I thank the Lord for that, that it was purchased with the blood of Jesus. I tell you, I thank the Lord. You see, tonight, not only was my salvation purchased with incorruptible blood, but think about this tonight. The Bible said after that Jesus, He rose again. The Bible said that He entered into the holy place by His own blood. I believe with all of my heart tonight that when Jesus went back to the right hand of the Father, that He sprinkled the mercy seat, and now He can make intercession for you and for me because of the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Amen. And now I can say to these young people, when we blow it, I didn't say to these young people, when you blow it, I said, when we blow it, we can confess our sin. It's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Why? Because of the incorruptible blood that was plied on a mercy seat in heaven. Everything in the tabernacle was just a type of that that's real in heaven. Amen. The Lord tonight for incorruptible blood. But think about this tonight. My salvation is great, not only because it was purchased with an incorruptible blood, but think about this. It's promised in an incorruptible book. Hallelujah. You see, the old devil don't like this book. Amen. You say, preacher, you believe that King James Bible's the Word of God? Let me make a stronger statement than that. I'm not going to stand here tonight and tell you that I believe I'm saved. I'm going to stand here tonight and tell you I know I am. I'm not going to stand here tonight and tell you I believe God called preach. I'm going to stand here tonight and say, I know God called me to preach. I'm not going to stand here tonight and say, I believe this is the Word of God. I'm going to say, I know it's the Word of God. It's an incorruptible book tonight. Amen. And God not only purchased my salvation with incorruptible blood, but God promised my salvation in an incorruptible book tonight. Thank the Lord tonight. You say, preacher, where'd you get that? I'm glad you asked. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The Bible said, being born again. You believe you have to be born again to go to heaven? Help me, church. There's a whole lot of people don't believe that anymore. But I tell you what, it's still the truth. You have to be born again to go to heaven. Jesus said, except you be born again, you can't even see, let alone enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. The Bible said, being born again. Watch this. Not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. I thank God tonight. I'm saved. How long are you saved, preacher? Oh, I tell you, time can't even measure it. I'm saved for time. I'm saved for eternity. Amen. Why? Because it was purchased with incorruptible blood. It was promised. The seed that was birthed in my heart was the Word of the living God. Amen. You say, preacher, why? Tell Timothy to preach the Word. Because that's the only seed that'll get the job done. By the way, that's the only thing that a preacher of the gospel has the authority to preach is the Word of God. Amen. I tell you, we're living in a generation. They got this idea. They got that idea. And they got this philosophy. And they got that philosophy. Amen. But I tell you what, it's still the Word of God, Brother Sam, that'll get the job done in this generation. It's still God's book that's incorruptible. It's still God's blood that's incorruptible tonight. I thank the Lord tonight for this incorruptible seed. The Bible said all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word by which the gospel is preached unto you. It's impossible tonight to corrupt the Word of God. They say, preacher, what about all these modern versions? They haven't corrupted anything. Say amen right there. I still got the book. By the way, I said, forever, O Lord. Word. Bible way, in the pulpit, and God has settled His Word. Amen. Settled it. Somebody said one time, well, I believe it. God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. I got news for you. That sounds real good. But let me tell you the truth of the matter. God said it, and that settles it. Whether we believe it or not, say amen. It's still settled in a wonderful place called heaven. The Word of settled tonight. My salvation is purchased with incorruptible blood. It's promised in an incorruptible book. I thank God tonight that it is. Let me give you this tonight. Thirdly, in the message, not only was it purchased with incorruptible blood and promised in an incorruptible book, but thank God it promotes us to an incorruptible blessing. Oh, you say, preacher, I've been blessed today. Can I just stop and say this? You ain't seen nothing yet. You just wait, amen, till we get in on that incorruptible blessing. You say, preacher, where'd you find that in the Word of God? Look here in 1 Peter chapter number 1 with me. The Bible said in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, hallelujah, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in the heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Thank God. Then we're going to have that incorruptible blessing. We've got blessings now. In verse number 6, He said, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and though now you see Him not yet believing, you rejoice full of glory. Hallelujah tonight. Thank God for an incorruptible book. Thank God for an incorruptible blood. And thank God for the incorruptible blessing. Amen. Somebody said, well, the devil stole my blessing. I doubt it. You probably traded it for something else. Say amen. I tell you, I thank God we have a blessing now. We have a blessing then. The Bible said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. Amen. Amen. You just wait. Wait till you see my brand new home. Wait till you see its glory there. Nothing down here can compare. Just wait till you see my brand new home. An incorruptible blessing. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 19 for just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 19. Think about this for just a little bit, church. I think it's chapter 9 and verse number 19. Listen to what the Word of God said. The Bible said here, for though I be free from all men, yet I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Under the Jews became I Jew, and I might gain the Jew. Under the law, as am I under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law. To the weak, I became as weak. He said that I might by all means save some. Watch this. Look at verse 24. Know you not that they run in a race, they run all. And they receive the one receives the prize. But run, that you may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it for a corruptible crown. But we, hallelujah, we're doing it for an incorruptible crown that fadeth not away. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. According to the Word of God, this salvation is purchased with incorruptible blood. It's promised in an incorruptible book. It promotes us. Amen. Let me give you something tonight and I'm done. Think about this. It'll be perfected. In an incorruptible body. A body that'll never know arthritis. A body that'll never know a stomach ache or an earache. Amen. Or a toothache. a body, my friend, that's incorruptible, one fashioned like unto the Son of God. Amen. He's going to change our vile body into a glorious body, fashioned like unto the Son of God. You say, preacher, where'd you get that? I'm glad you asked. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to begin reading in verse number 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. By the way, this preacher does not believe in soul sleep. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Let me clear it up for you. I believe that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But there's a part of us, that body, that goes back into the ground. And when the Bible talks about them that sleep in Jesus, it's talking about that body, amen. You say, preacher, you got no Bible to back that up. Let me ask you something. Was Lazarus talking? Did Lazarus know who the rich man was? Did Abraham know who he was? Did the rich man know who Abraham was? Did he know who Lazarus was? You telling me we know less now than we knew before the resurrection? Amen. Oh, thank God. Listen, this incorruptible body. Let me read it to you. The Bible said we're not all going to sleep, but we're all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. I mean, that'd be good enough shout right there. But glory to God, it said the dead are going to be raised incorruptible. We're going to have a body. Amen. You say, preacher, you believe in a bodily resurrection? Yeah, and if you believe the Bible, you do too. Amen. Somebody said, well, Jesus got up in spirit. No, He got up in body. Somebody say amen. Amen. He had one of them their bodies that you didn't have to open the door for. If He wanted to come in, He just walked on in. Yeah. Amen. Amen. The disciples were gathered behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. When Jesus wanted to go in, He didn't knock at a door. He just walked right on in. Amen. He ate. Ain't that right? Amen. He said, touch me. He said, handle me. Have the spirit, flesh and bones. Amen. He had a new body. Thank God we're going to have a new body. Listen to what the Bible said. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall it put on incorruption, and this mortal shall it put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death. He said, preacher, what's so great about being saved? Well, you just wait till death is swallowed up. Three. He said, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm going to a place where I'll have an incorruptible body. I'm never going to worry about ending up in a nursing home or an assisted living home or in Wilcox Hall or Hosted Valley or Indian Path. I'm going to a place where I'll have a body like unto the Son of God. It's a great salvation. Not just because of what's on the other side, but thank God because of what's on this side as well. Amen. Somebody said something years ago. I didn't understand it. I was lost when I heard him say it. But I didn't understand it. Brother Kyle, they said, if there was no heaven and if there was no hell, I'd still rather be an old-time Christian as anything I know. I didn't understand it till one day I got in. Now I understand it. Amen. If there was no heaven and if there was no hell, I tell you tonight, church, I wouldn't go back to the way it was before Jesus for nothing in this world. Nothing but heartache. Now I have something, my friend, that's incorruptible waiting for me. Hallelujah. The Bible said here, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know, out there, no doubt, a while ago, Brother Ralph, when they put Brother Zane down in that hole, you could almost see. I got him. How many believe that grave was grinning when Jesus went in? Amen. That old devil was grinning. All his cohorts was a grinning. But 3 days later, they wasn't a grinning no more. Amen. The devil said to death, what happened to him? Death said, I lost him. I lost him. He got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. You know what tonight? Out yonder one day in that cemetery, it's going to look like popcorn. Guess what? You say, preacher, why did you say that? I think about it often when I get in a cemetery. Because all of them ain't coming out. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds. Amen. Then after the tribulation, amen, there's going to be a judgment. A great white throne judgment. Death and hell are going to give up the grave. The grave are going to give up the dead that were in them. The sea. You see, they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment and be judged according to their works. My friend, they're going to be cast into a place called hell while that you and I are standing there in an incorruptible body that's been purchased with incorruptible blood, that's been promised in an incorruptible book, that's promoted us to incorruptible blessings. That's where we're going to be when all that's going on. I preached Brother Fred one night on the tribulation and the judgments that's coming on the world. A lady asked me at the back door of the church, she said, preacher, where are you going to be when all that's going on? I can wrap it up in one four-letter word. Gone. Hallelujah. Let me give you another four-letter word. Home. Hallelujah. Gone to be with Jesus. Gone home. Hallelujah. In an incorruptible body. I don't know about you tonight. He said, preacher, if I believed all that, man, I'd go get drunk. No, you wouldn't. If you believed all that, you'd fall in love with Him. You'd serve Him. Amen. You'd look forward to the day when He comes again. You'd want somebody else to get what you've got. Amen. My friend, this great salvation is never a license to sin. It's always liberty to serve. God didn't set me free, Brother Earl, to see how much I could sin. God set me free. Because being all bound up, I couldn't serve Him. So He set me free that I might be able to serve Him. Amen. In that Old Testament economy, and I'll wind it down. In that Old Testament economy, a slave, we could be set free. And that slave, after so many years, the year of Jubilee, 50 years, they could just be set free every year. In the year of Jubilee, they could just go. But if they had children, the children stayed. If they had a wife, the wife stayed. And so that slave had a choice at the end of that year. And what that slave could do, he could say, I love my wife. I love my children. And I love my master. I know I can go if I want to, but I don't want to. And he just stay. Amen. That's what Paul's talking about when he's talking about being a bond slave of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That slave, they would put his ear up to the door and they would take an awl and they would bore a hole in his ear. And everybody that saw that slave said, hey, that man belongs to his master forever because he chose to be a slave. Glory to God. You say, I don't like the word slave. Let me tell you something right now. He's my master tonight. Amen. And I love Him tonight. And I ain't got no hole in my ear tonight. And I really don't want one. This ain't the Old Testament economy. Amen. But I will tell you this. God being my helper, I want to go the rest of the way with the one that loved me and gave Himself for me. I don't want to go kicking and screaming. Say amen. I want to go willingly. I want to go because I love Him. I want to go because He loves me. I want to go because there's not a better master anywhere. Amen. You see, we're living in a generation. Young people, listen to this statement right here. It'll help you. We're living in a generation that wants a Savior without a Lord. I told that right, didn't I, Brother Gristle? We're living in a generation that says, come and get saved and go away and forget about it. Come and let God be your Savior and go away and live however you want to. There's a problem with that. You can't find it in the Bible. When a man gets saved, he gets a new father and he gets a new master. Jesus said it like this. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I'll tell you, when Jesus is our Savior, somebody said, well, you need to make Him Lord of your life. Listen to me carefully right here. You'll figure this out if you're really saved. You don't have to make Him anything. He is Lord. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? That means when you get saved and He is Lord, you can cooperate or you can refuse to cooperate. But if you refuse to cooperate, being He is Lord, He's going to come along and give you some incentive to cooperate. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I mean He's going to speak to you. The next thing I mean is He's going to chasten you. Somebody say, amen right there. I'll never be down the road chastening somebody else's youngins. But I tell you what, you ask my grandsons, you ask them, Mike, ask them about a trip to my dad's a while back. They picked on one another for 3 solid days. And I was coming back and I heard a thump. The older one hit the younger one with his fist. I heard it and I'm deaf. I said, what was that? And they started. I tell you, I looked for me a place to pull over. I pulled in at a veterinarian's office and we had a little operation. Amen. I bent them over the back fender out of sight of the highway and I busted their rear ends, both of them. You say, why did you do that? I'll tell you why. Because I love them. I pulled over up here, Brother Ralph, at State Line Baptist Church. I said, we're fixing to go by y'all's house. I said, now you tell Papa, what do you want me to do? I said, if you want to go home, I'll be glad to take you home. I said, but I'll tell you this right now. As soon as I get you home, I'm going to talk to your daddy. And I'm going to tell your daddy what you did. And I'm going to tell your daddy what I did. I said, when I was growing up, it was different than now. Brother Houston, if somebody told my daddy, I just got it again. A little better dose, probably, amen. I said, now tell me what you want us to do. You want to go home with Papa? Both them boys said, yeah, Papa, we want to go home with you. You say, preacher, youngins don't need that. We're in disagreement. But I'm on the Bible's side. Somebody say amen right there. And the Bible's on my side. No, sir, you have never ought to abuse them. But I'm going to tell you what, once in a while, they need the Board of Education applied to the seat of learning. And guess what? If you ever one time really get born again, and you get out of His fellowship, and you get out of His will, He will apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning. Because He loves us. If you don't believe what I'm telling you, just get your Bible and do some research on child rearing and child training. You say, preacher, how does that line up with the Bible? Lines up perfectly. Because see, when I got saved, I became His child. He don't whoop the devil's youngins. But I tell you what, He'll whoop His own. And He don't do it because He hates us. He does it because He loves us. I have a great salvation tonight. Great because it was purchased with incorruptible blood. It was promised in an incorruptible book. It promotes us to an incorruptible blessing. I thank God, Brother Fred, when we get home, my mama had one of them little hover-round chairs. Mama ain't going to be in one of them chairs. And Brother Fred, you ain't going to need that cane. Amen. Brother Napper, the man I work with in the Northeast, it's his left leg, I believe. From right here down, it's artificial. Brother Napper, if he ever comes to our church, you'll know him. Here's how he walks. He has to. He don't have a real leg on that side. I get kidding with him sometimes. I tell him, I say, if you don't straighten up, we'll take that leg off and whoop you with it. Amen. I love him. But where we're going, there won't be none of this. There won't be none of these. There won't be nobody in a wheelchair. Say amen. Because we're going to have an incorruptible body, one likened to the Son of God. You say, preacher, why would you preach a message like that on now? Let me tell you why, because God told me to. Let me tell you why else. Because if we're not careful, we'll take for granted every blessing I've described tonight. Amen. And God don't want us to take those incorruptible blessings for granted. God wants us to love Him. God wants us to serve Him. Amen. God wants us to look for and long for the day of heaven's bright shore. And I believe it's nearer than when we first believed. Say amen. And I believe it's nearer than anybody knows. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles are won. We'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you. You know what I believe? I believe we ought to shout the victory on the way. Amen. I believe we ought to shout by faith like the children of Israel did. They shouted before the walls fell down. Amen. They marched around there, they shouted, then the walls fell. Ain't that right? Amen. Sometimes we can shout on what we see. Sometimes we can shout on what we feel. But there ought to be times when we just shout by faith. Thank the Lord. Bless His holy name. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank You tonight for the Word of God. I thank You, Lord, tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for a land where we'll never grow old. I thank You, Lord, for purchasing our eternal redemption with Your own precious blood. I pray tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we would not be guilty of taking for granted this great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?